My name is Monday Ambila, and the title of the presentation is Investigating Trace Metal and Mineral Redistribution in Fire-Managed Forest Altisols from Alabama. And I'm making this presentation on behalf of the people that actually did the work, Ngowari Jaja, our former student, and Maria Nobles, whom I think is here. We are from Alabama A&M University. Now, this is part of a wider research project that is funded by the National Science Foundation to investigate how the flora, the soils, the human dimensions, fauna, and other aspects of the environment, how these aspects of the environment respond when the ecosystem is managed with prescribed fires, prescribed burning, and logging. Prescribed burning is not very new. It's been used for a very long time, and it's a popular way of managing forest, at least in the United States, and it's for very good reasons. With prescribed burning, you maintain fire-dependent species, you reduce the rate of spread of an intensity of wildfires if it ever occurs, because with prescribed burning, you cannot remove the fuel load on the forest floor. It also improves the forest species population dynamics. So these are the good things about it. But we don't know very much about what happens to other soil properties, especially when it comes to toxic mineral distribution in the soil and also mineralogy. So what we wanted to do was to try to use this opportunity to investigate it. Now, this study was done at the William Bankhead National Forest in north central Alabama. This forest is about actually over 180,000 acres, and so in this forest, the Forestry Service mapped out 36 plots of land in four blocks, and then they applied different levels of treatment. Treatment 1, treatment 2, treatment 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, what these treatments are is different intensities of logging. In some parts of the forest, there is logging, just logging. And in other parts of the forest, there is burning, prescribed burning. And in some parts of the forest, there is both logging and prescribed fires. And in some parts still, there are no treatments at all, no logging and no burning. And so when you combine those parameters, you have 9 treatments, starting from no burning and no logging to high percentage or high intensity of logging, 50%, and then 10 years of burning. Now, what we mean by 10 years of burning is burning once in 10 years, burning once in 3 years. Now, we don't have data for the 10 years because it would take about 10 years before we start getting the data for the 10 years. So much of the information I'll present today will just be for the 3 years and 50% logging. Now, soils at the Bankhead National Forest just look like this. They are moderately deep, well-drained, moderately permeable, and they develop from residuum that weathered from sandstone. So these are basically sandstone-derived soils, and we classify them as typic haplodelts in the SIPSI series, the fine, loamy, siliceous, semi-active thermic. In the spring of 2005, that's when these plots were established by the Forestry Service. And then summer of that year, there was logging treatment. And the winter of 2006, there was burning. So between 2005 and 2006, there was logging and burning. And at each step, we took samples just before the logging, after the logging, before the burning, after the burning. And between 2007 and 2008, we did the same thing for block 2. So we had 4 blocks in the entire forest. And much of the information I'm presenting today are just from 2 blocks. So what we did was to do soil digestion using nitric acid and hydrogen peroxide to extract all the elements, trace elements that we have, and we determined their concentrations using the PerkinElmer 2100 inductively coupled plasma optical emission spectroscopy. And for the clay mineralogy, we prepared oriented samples by the standard technique, and we treated for magnesium, potassium, ethylene glycol, and we heated the treatments just to be able to identify the minerals that we have in the soil. We started the mineralogy because there were some questions that we had from the trace metal concentrations in the soil. The results. This result is from the untreated soil. So there was no burning here, and there was no logging here. And so we sampled this soil when the other plots were being sampled, and we sampled again after some time, but there was basically no treatment that was applied here. And we can see from the distribution of the trace metals, starting from the O horizon all the way to the BT, that the trace metal contents are below 20 micrograms per gram, 20 micrograms of the elements per gram of soil, which comes to about 0.002%. So, and from the information we saw in the literature, it just looks like this is about what to be expected in a non-contaminated soil. So this is like the background levels of these elements in the soil. And we see some variation in the distribution between the first time we sampled and the second time we sampled over a year. Now, this is the burning treatment alone. So the plots here were burned and there was no logging. And when we look at the trace metal distribution from the surface of the soil to the BT of the soil, we also see that there is this trace metal distribution that is less than 20 micrograms per gram. This is before the burning, and after the burning, we see trace metal concentrations right about that or a little less than that. But one thing we see here is that arsenic is high in these post-burning samples. Now, we don't know exactly why that is the case. Then we look at the trace metal distributions in the thinning, that is the logging samples alone. There was logging, but there was no burning. And we see trace metal distributions exactly around 10 or lower than that, less than 20 micrograms per gram, which is, again, 0.002%. These are low. But now, for this logging treatment, we see a higher concentration of arsenic, low on the soil surface, but then increases around the top of the BT horizon. And then for the post-thinning, we see the same increase, but it's higher in the soil surface. Now, we don't know exactly what is going on because this is logging. And so we can't really explain why there will be high content of arsenic. But also, when you look at where we combine the treatments, so we combine both the logging and the prescribed burning. So essentially, the trace metals are still low in concentration. That's copper, nickel, zinc, and lead. But arsenic is high, and arsenic is high after the combined treatment. So the first thing we saw was that before the burning, the trace metal content was low. After the burning, it is high. So we start suspecting, is it burning? Now we see before the burning here and logging, trace metal content is high. And after the logging and thinning, trace metal content is high, especially for arsenic. So we're not sure exactly where the arsenic is coming from. But it doesn't look like it's coming from the treatment, which is burning, not logging. Now, we tried to look at the major pedological components of the soil, such as iron oxide and organic matter distribution, to see if their distribution may be something that we can use to explain the erratic distribution of arsenic. And when we look at the distribution of iron oxide, it's between 0.25% to 1% on the surface, increases in the B horizon, and we don't see any more decrease. So this is to be expected in a regular ultisol from Alabama. Organic matter distribution, on the other hand, was high on the surface and then decreased with depth. But we didn't see any of those distribution of arsenic. So we tried to do a quick and rough calculation to see how much of the arsenic was increased. And what we did was use an enrichment factor, which is calculated from the concentration of the elements and using an element such as aluminum or iron for just a reference or normalizing. So the enrichment factor is calculated as concentration of the element on the treated soil over the aluminum in the treated soil divided by concentration of the element in the control or untreated soil divided by the aluminum on the control. So the aluminum is actually a normalizing agent here, just like a reference. When the enrichment factor is less than zero, then we say, or less than one. When it's less than one, then we think that maybe the treatment reduced the concentration of the arsenic. And if it's higher than one, then we think that it increased the concentration of the arsenic. And if it's zero, there is probably no relationship. Now, this quick and dirty calculation shows us that the enrichment of arsenic is high. So arsenic is enriched, but we don't know where that enrichment is coming from. So what we've seen, metal content at background levels, arsenic is high. Where is the arsenic coming from then? That's when we started looking at the mineralogy. Could we find any traces in mineralogy that tells us the distribution of arsenic? And if we were to have some mineral in the soil that was controlling the solubility of arsenic, I think from literature we think it would be something like pyrite. It could be something like arsenopyrite. It could be something like chalcopyrite. So we wanted to see if anything like that shows up in our soil. Now what we see, what we're able to identify, we see vermiculite, we see probably mica, we see vermiculite, we see quartz. And so these are the main elements that we see. If we're to have something like pyrite or chalcopyrite, then we'll be expecting some strong peaks at about 28 degree 2 theta at this point, or around this point, but we don't see anything like that. Now, this is, I don't have much information about arsenic, X-ray diffraction of arsenic, but if we had, I saw this from Kurt Feinhoff, published in 1997. And so if the arsenic was there, we'll see strong peaks where these things are. So we don't see those strong peaks. So could there be any anthropogenic activities, possibly forest management related? Let's remember that arsenic is used in forestry as wood preservatives to prevent rot and insect damage. And so we've had these kind of problems in Alabama. We don't know exactly whether this is part of it. But what we think is that the trace metal distribution in the soil, especially for copper, nickel, zinc, and lead, are kind of background levels in those soils. The vertical distribution shows some variability. But arsenic content of the soils increased after some of the treatments. It also was high in untreated soils. So that increase is probably not due to the treatment or the soil mineralogy. Now, anthropogenic sources of arsenic from ecosystem management may be the cause of that, but this is something that we need to investigate some more. And I think that when we get more data from these treatments and more detailed identification of the mineralogy in the soil, we may be in a better position to answer some of those questions. Thank you. Arsenic is not, I don't think that it's taken up, but I don't know much information about the physiologic behavior of plants and arsenic. But I think that in a place like where we are doing this experiment, there are some coal that occurs there. And so it is possible that that coal is getting some of the arsenic. And how that is transporting to the surface, I not exactly sure, but I don't think that this is something that the plants are doing. But of course, we don't have information on that.
Okay, thank you.